Well, welcome to the Still Figuring It Out podcast. My name's Kyle, and I am the host. And today is Halloween. I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm recording this on Halloween. I'm going to try to just turn this around and put it out there because today is one of my favorite holidays. My kids woke up this morning so excited about Halloween and getting candy and getting to dress up. And I have to admit, that little boy in me is also just kind of leaping for joy a little bit because Halloween is still fun to me after all these years. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about Halloween, about this season, about what's going on in the world, and how, to me, today, it's truly a spiritual day. It is a holiday. In other words, a holy day. And I think Halloween is a spiritual holiday. And I know people disagree. You know, I would say some people, you know, have different values and different beliefs around this day, and think that you know, you shouldn't glorify evil, and you know, for whatever reason, some people decide not to participate. And that's okay. I'm not here to judge anyone. I'm just here to offer a perspective for folks to do with as they please. However, I do want to point out that actually it is called Halloween because it is All Hallows Eve. That word hallow being very similar to the word we use in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, which means holy. All Hallows Eve is a holy day because it is the day before All Saints Day, which basically is a day that we recognize this connection that we have, this communion of the saints. In other words, holy people, which we know, you know, people are people, but people have been hallowed, people have been blessed by God, people have been given, you know, gifts and callings and ministry and have done good things in the world. And maybe some people are just special people to you who have already died. And so you want to commemorate, remember the good things, the lessons you've learned, the fact that we can leave a legacy of positive things in our life. You know, we want to remember people, which is similar to the Day of the Dead, which is right around this same time, around the beginning of November, is this holiday, the Day of the Dead. It all comes from this same, I think, a spiritual holy day of honoring family members, honoring a tradition, honoring people who lived their lives and somehow figured out a way to give something back while they were here. And that's really what we're all trying to do, really. I mean, we're here not just for ourselves, but we're here to experience the sacred. We're here to experience just life itself and the goodness of life, to somehow contribute to the goodness and try not to contribute too much of the evil. But at the same time, we have to recognize that evil exists. You know, we have to recognize that there is bad things happening in the world. But the thing I love about Halloween is that we actually, by dressing up as ghosts and ghouls and monsters, by dressing up as the thing that we're scared of, you know, the Grim Reaper, by doing this, in a way, we're playing with it. We're having fun with it. We're kind of making fun of death because we know that life is more powerful, that life always wins, and that life comes even after death. There's this ancient practice called memento mori, of reflecting on our own death, reflecting on the fact that this life is temporary, and that someday we're going to die in the same way that someday we were born. And what that causes us to realize for one, is our little problems, our little mild irritations and annoyances and frustrations throughout the day, are, in the grand scheme of things, really doesn't matter. We kind of get worked up in a tizzy sometimes, and it's okay, you know. It's all right to experience the full range of emotions of humanity, but at the same time, sometimes we just got to look back and really laugh. Like, can you believe I made such a big deal out of that? You know, can you believe I was so upset because I was, you know, 5 minutes late to that thing and traffic was bad, and so I was just like flipping everybody off and honking my horn, and then I realized no one even cared that I was 5 minutes late. You know, it's like little things like that, you know, we can just maybe put into a, put it, you know, we can zoom out a little bit sometimes, you know, and the more we zoom out, the more we realize how insignificant some of that stuff is, and we make it a big deal by just focusing on it, right? But this day to make fun of death, in a way, is like facing our deepest fears head on, rather than just kind of keeping them at bay and pretending they don't exist, living in denial, running away from anything that scares us. On this holy day, we almost celebrate it. The fact that we have things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of dying, you know. We are supposed to be, because we want to live, because life is good, right? But actually, I've been thinking about this. It's really psychologically healthy for us to focus, or at least bring into the picture, the underbelly side of things, like the dark side. That reminds me, one year my whole family was Star Wars characters, and I was Darth Vader. Probably one of my favorite costumes, because there is something so complex about that character of Darth Vader. You know, kind of side tangent, thinking about, you know, his journey from that little boy Anakin, who's like the hero who you're rooting for, to then kind of becoming this notorious super villain, you know, who kind of wreaks havoc on galaxies, and yet is there redemption between the love of father and son? You know, you just, there's so much kind of built into that, and it really makes us think about ourselves. It can lead to this. You know, we all tend to think, generally speaking, that we're good people. You know, I think I'm a good guy, right? I try, I do my best. But at the same time, we have the propensity for evil. We have within us the same urges that everyone does. The reality is, if we were put in a corner, right? And that's kind of what the whole Saw movie franchise is about. Like, if it's life or death, you will be forced to do things that you would never do normally, right? So this kind of gets into trauma informed care a little bit too. Like, if you think that you're about to die and you're, you know, pushed up in the corner, then you might be willing to attack people in a way that, you know, seems unnecessary and not normal. You know, like the mouse, this is kind of gruesome, but like the mouse whose leg is caught in a trap is willing to chew their own leg off to be free, you know, and kind of that's where these Saw movies get this idea that this is true for human nature, because we want to survive, we want to live. Again, life is good. The reality is, all of this kind of points to this fact that life is good, right? At the heart of life, there's goodness. So that's why we run away from death. But I think, again, I know I'm kind of all over the place, bringing more to the picture is healthier than denying it. Carl Jung was really key with this kind of psychological concept of the shadow self, right? And doing shadow work is one of the most important things you can do in your life to be a healthy person. And basically the idea is something like this. You are raised a certain way, you know, you're born into a family, you're born into a certain situation, and you're just constantly learning how to adapt to your circumstances. You're constantly trying to figure out how to survive, how to get the best outcomes, right? So then typically you lean on a couple strengths early on, you know, whether it's your charm, whether you're just actually really assertive and confident, and so you're good at getting your way, so you just kind of bulldoze people, or maybe you're just so kind that people can't help but like you. You know, so there's these things that we start liking about ourselves because it works, right? So that kind of becomes the persona, right? But then there's all of the things that are kind of on the other side of that spectrum about ourselves that are still there, but maybe dilapidated a little bit. We want to shove all that under the rug, right? Like, so for me personally, I wanted to just get along with people. I wanted to just be like the nice guy that people wanted to be friends with, people wanted to hang out with. So I would tend to like see conflict as something to be avoided. And so I would just kind of push things under the rug, like don't you know, show that bothers me, just kind of don't worry about it, right? Let's just focus on the positive. But the reality is, after a while, that's really unhealthy. You can't just pretend like you're never upset when things do upset you. Like, you can't shove anger under the rug every time you're angry. Eventually, something small is going to happen, and you are going to blow up, and you're going to be so mad, and you're going to be like, why am I so mad? Perhaps it's because you're not dealing with anger when it comes in a healthy way. So our shadow self is like dealing with the parts of ourselves that we don't like. It's letting that come out every once in a while, just enough to like kind of deal with some of that stuff. Because if we don't deal with it in a healthy way, it's going to come out in a negative way, in a harmful way. And honestly, that is at the root of why many people do horrific things. Perhaps, you know, it's probably a combination of things, right? There might be some situational things. There might be some brain chemistry things. There might be some stuff that has just kind of been building over time. And it just explodes. It just comes out, and they just can't deal with it anymore. So I think Halloween is a time where we can act on our shadow self a little bit, right? Like we can kind of show a different side of ourselves. We can dress up like something that we are not, in order to recognize that, in some ways, our everyday persona is also not fully who we are. It's something that we are not. Not maybe that's not accurate, but it's not the full picture, right? We show a side of ourselves on social media, right? Like we only post the pictures we like of ourselves, right? We only want to be seen in a certain light, but the reality is we have thoughts, we have feelings, we have nightmares, fears, worries, all of these things that we wish wasn't there. But then on Halloween, lean into that a little bit. You know, I love how kids, they typically either do one of two things. Like, they want to dress like a hero, you know, like one of their favorite, you know, Marvel or DC heroes, or they want to dress like a villain, you know, or a monster or something scary. And I think that, in a nutshell, describes this battle inside all of us to figure out who we are. Am I the hero or am I the villain? Right? And often our attempts to do heroic things is out of fear that if we don't, we are a villain. And then sometimes we do things like a villain when we don't even really want to or mean to, but it's because we've not really dealt with some of the things in our lives that aren't healthy, right? So maybe by acting out our deepest fear, you know, by becoming the Grim Reaper every once in a while, maybe we're less afraid of death because we take that on and we play around with it. We have fun with it. We dance on graves rather than always kind of running away from those scary places. Excuse me while I sip my pumpkin spice coffee. I have been adding a little pumpkin pie spice to my my normal coffee with cream and stevia. Which is perhaps a good commercial break for a song I just put out called Autumn Song. And in this song, I talk about time to bring out the pumpkin spice. It's time to put on the flannel shirts, you know. And I really just try to throw in things in that song that just made me think about why I love this season. This, particularly in Western North Carolina, this year the leaves were the prettiest I have seen in recent memory. They stuck around a long time. They were just vibrant colors. I mean, even still, I can see some color in these mountains around me while I'm recording this, and it's just, I love it so much. It's so beautiful. So I encourage you to check out Kyle Sigmund, that, you know, that's me, Spotify, Apple Music, all those places. See if you like it. It's a fun little ditty. I really wanted to just capture a feeling and bring in some tradition. And I think I even have a line in there that holy days are soon, right? Like, I feel like as soon as you hit October, it's just like the season of holy days with Halloween. And, you know, for me, maybe not everybody, but for me, November 5th is a holiday, you know, a holy day. It's my birthday. Okay. So I got my birthday, I got my wife's birthday, and then Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that just kind of runs together. And then all three of my boys have Christmas birthdays, basically, and then around the 20th to 29th. And then my anniversary is December 30th. And then there's New Year's Eve. I mean, it's just one holiday after another, one holy day after another. So I love this time of year. I want to lean into it. I want to embrace it. I want to experience it for what it is. Back to our regularly scheduled program here. It is still Halloween, a hallowed day. And I want to talk a little bit about spiritual warfare. I've been seeing things lately, you know, more and more people kind of maybe taking it more seriously. It's not just this like weird new age thing or something that like in the religion of your childhood, they try to like scare you. But that perhaps there is some, you know, these like battling spirits, you know, kind of for our soul or for our participation. And, you know, I've kind of already alluded to that within ourselves, with this, the hero and the villain inside of us. But then you get a bunch of people together, and it's like a collective thing too, right? Like there's like the spirit of heroism, or the spirit of villainism or evil, you know? And we can see this start to play out in politics and in religion, in corporations, in, you know, ideas around capitalism versus socialism, and, you know, looking after the environment versus what's good for the economy. You know, there's so much with these big concepts that's battling good and evil, but, you know, when you get down to it, it's like, it's values, yes, but it's almost more than that. It almost feels like a tug of war going on around us. my teenage kids, which is still weird for me to say, but two of my kids are teenagers now. The three of us watched a scary movie on Sunday, and it was The Nun. You know, it was in the Conjuring universe of movies. And there's something about those movies especially that are pretty scary, you know, kind of creepy, because it, you know, they say it's all based on true events, right? And we have, you know, throughout history, these this idea of exorcism, of, you know, needing to help people who are being possessed by demons, by evil spirits. And so we watched The Nun, which was, you know, basically an evil spirit had taken over this monastery in kind of a remote area. And okay, so I'm gonna give just a little spoiler right now. So if you don't want me to spoil the movie, you can, you know, skip ahead 30 seconds. But they use actually a drop of blood from Jesus to basically defeat this evil spirit. And what really struck me at the end of that movie is I was thinking, you know, this is not advertised as like a Christian movie. You know, it's not sponsored by churches like that movie God's Not Dead or God's Not Dead 2, where or, you know, the Left Behind series, or all these movies that are like, you know, it's a Christian movie, right? Like your church might even help pay for the production and put on these big youth group parties to watch it. The Nun is not that, right? Like, all of these movies that are about, like, being possessed and exorcisms, they're not necessarily, as far as I know, okay, I haven't researched it. I guess I shouldn't speak with so much authority on something that I've not looked into. But I don't get the picture that these movies are being sponsored by churches and being shown at youth group. However, like, the themes are more Christian than, like, a lot of Christian things that we call Christian, you know. And it's just kind of interesting to me, this general appeal and understanding that something like...
One sec.
Oh. Siri's talking to me. Sorry. That, you know, the blood of Jesus would have this supernatural power. So I'll just kind of like let y'all make of that what you will, but it makes me think about, again, how so many of the things that we are so quick to judge, and I say we as just, you know, you hear people say like, I don't want anything to do with it, the demonic, or, you know, which, you know, understandably, you don't want to like, you know, you want to focus on the good in life. But really, these things that are demonic, or these ideas that we have, it comes from a tradition of a religious tradition. It comes from these ideas that Christ came to help us kind of defeat evil. So the reality is, none of these things in and of themselves are wrong or bad, because it could help us come to a point where we realize we are fighting our own demons. Like, we are fighting our own battles. And it takes different shapes and different forms. That's actually kind of what I like about the Conjuring universe, like those movies. The evil takes different forms throughout these movies, because that's like real life. Like, if evil was so easy to recognize, I feel like we'd be able to avoid it a lot easier. But in reality, evil takes on new disguises in every age. And it's a spirit of confusion, right? I mean, that's the point of it. I actually really love C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, because it's really creative, but it's also like kind of true, right? Like, the way evil works is trying to like confuse us, trying to make us believe things that aren't true, but like more like takes something that's true and twists it. So it's like you're not just like doing the opposite of good. You're doing something that you think is good for whatever reason. Like, you know, whatever the excuse is, you think you're doing something good. Like the founding of America, all right? Just to get a historical. Slave labor did so much for the beginning of this country. And so you know, you could see how evil was being done in the name of good, in a sense of like, we are doing something good, but we're also doing something incredibly evil. But they couldn't, you can't, you know, people at the time, not everybody, a lot of people were anti-slavery from the get-go. There have been people, you know, the abolitionists have been there the whole time. So I'm going to recognize that. But at the same time, there was this overall spirit of the idea that, oh, it's just a necessary thing, right? Like free labor, this is a good thing for the economy. It's a good thing for these, you know, southern farmers, landowners. And the amount of evil that has continued because of that idea, like we don't even recognize it anymore because it keeps changing. Evil keeps changing its disguise, right? And then you're hearing it being yelled at on the streets, but then we kind of want to say, well, but there's also this, right? Like all lives matter, not just Black lives. Like what, you know, we keep getting confused, you know, and evil keeps, it's still there, right? It's still lurking. It keeps changing its disguise. And so we also realize that we often change our disguise. You know, as we're growing up in life, we put on different roles. You know, like now I'm a father, I'm a student again now. So this is like a new identity in a way. I'm a pastor, but I'm on my way to becoming a mental health counselor. I'm going to be a therapist, you know. So in a way, it feels like I'm just kind of putting on these different hats and like I have to kind of put on a different mask when I'm in one mode or when I'm, you know, I'm supposed to act a certain way around different people. I actually just had my 20th high school reunion over the weekend, and it was a blast. Something about getting back together with this group of friends, it's like we're kids again, right? Like we remember what it was like to be 13 and 14 with, you know, with some of these people. And so you're just like, you go back to being a child again with this group of people. And those aspects of who we are still there. It's still in us, and none of it truly defines us, right? So I just want us to lean into the moment, lean into this day, celebrate Halloween however you feel so led. If it is not part of your values, I'm not here to judge anybody. You know, you've got your convictions, stick to them, but however, be open to new perspectives. And, you know, I'm open to new perspectives. So if you've got something that you want to share with me, you know, I'm missing something, please. I know it. I know I am. As a matter of fact, that's kind of the whole point of this podcast is that I'm still figuring all this out. And hopefully, the more I get on this mic, the more I realize I'm in a new place again. You know, I'm learning things again. I'm shaking things up again in my own life, in my own thinking. You know, not because there's something wrong with me in a sense that I need to be better. It's just the fact that the nature of life is so that it's dynamic. So I just feel like if I'm a part of this thing, if I'm still living, a part of the living and not a part of the dead, I'm open to something new. And I'm trying to be more wide awake, you know, more often. And I realize it's also not possible because every night I go to sleep. And that's, again, finding this balance. And that's one of the things I love about Taoism, is just, it's about the balance between the good and the evil, the light and the dark, the day and the night, you know? It's recognizing the marriage between the polar opposites, and that we live in the in-between. So today, live in the in-between on your Halloween, and know that Halloween, at least for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's a spiritual thing. Yeah, can we just, maybe we can just claim that. Halloween is a spiritual thing. We live in the in-between. This is like starting to sound like a song. Between life and death. And we recognize this battle, and we're a part of it. I can't go on without acknowledging the fact that we are truly seeing some horrific things in our world. This war in Israel and Gaza, the Palestinians, it's awful. And so much of it is rooted in religion. Right? So here I am saying, like, I'm seeing religion everywhere. I'm seeing spirituality everywhere. And yet religion is also causing innocent people to die before our very eyes. How can this be? And where is this God who they claim to be worshiping, right? And I'm with you. I hear that. I am horrified by the fact that innocent people are dying. The sacred is being desecrated. You know, what is more holy and sacred than the human life? And we are just taking human life and covering the streets with blood. So where is the hope? You know, it's a tricky question, right? Because you can't be so blinded by the light of hope that you miss the darkness and you overlook it and you don't realize how real this pain is, how difficult this is. And I want to talk about our friend Chandler. What I mean by that is the actor Matthew Perry. I think we all felt just heartbreak when we heard the news about Matthew Perry. I was actually still at my high school reunion when I found out the news with my friends that, you know, we all met in the 90s, and here we are losing an actor who most of us know predominantly from the show Friends, which was in the 90s. But he was more than an actor. He was a human being. He was a person, and he had his demons that he was fighting. And I haven't read his book yet, but actually, my wife and I just we bought it to download, and I've been, you know, hearing clips from it. I've understood a little bit now that I watched an interview where he talked about how alcoholism is like the Joker. And the Joker just wants to see the world burn. It's just all about chaos. It's just, and alcoholism wants to get you alone. It wants to get you down in the dumps and just suck the life out of you. And he battled with this, you know, his whole life. And many people have pointed out, you know, even in his Instagram posts, in the last days of his life, he was signaling. You know, the bat signal. He was calling himself Matman. He was battling the Joker. He was in the throes of this battle between life and death. And the sad thing is, you know, death got the best of him. And this time of life, or this time of this season of year, time of year, season, is when we take a hard look at this, you know, people who have died, whether tragically or of natural causes. I mean, that's the whole point of the Jesus story, right? Like, he was killed. And he didn't deserve it. Right? Like, does anyone ever deserve to be killed? That gets into, you know, I think about my friend Jeff Hood. I want to have him on the podcast again soon. He's been traveling all over the country, being beside people while they're receiving the death penalty. See, our tax dollars are still killing people in wars, and also, you know, in our criminal justice, and I use that word in air quotes, our criminal justice system, right? Is that justice? For some people, it feels like it, you know, when you're so hurt by someone, you want them to hurt, but does it heal anything, right? Which leads me to a central point that the only thing that really heals is forgiveness. Which is why Jesus did what he did. He was on the cross, you know, he was dying, he was being killed. And all he was doing in return was offering forgiveness. Right? So when I ask for hope, where is it? It looks like bloody forgiveness, I guess, you know. It's the only way we can live. If we hold on to the grudge, it festers. And we're more likely to let that villain, you know, have a little too much room in our lives if we are not willing to forgive. So that's my prayer, my mantra, my blessing, my good vibes that I'm giving out today is, can we forgive life for being shitty sometimes? Can we forgive life for not being everything we want it to be because it includes death? Because it includes the hardest things as well as the best? Can we forgive it? Can we forgive ourselves for, you know, neglecting half of ourselves for the majority of our lives? Can we forgive ourselves for trying to be better than other people when we're a person just like everyone else? Can we forgive other people for their faults, or for sometimes just being really good at things and then we are envious of them or jealous of them? Can we forgive them for being them? Can we forgive them for living their lives differently, for having a different perspective, for having a different culture? Can we forgive them for that? You know, if we had lived their life, we might be the same way. Can we forgive? How do we pick up the pieces after more mass shootings like in Maine, right? It's not just about forgiveness, right? In a sense that, like, we want to protect life. We want to see legislation change. We want to see policy change. And we cannot carry hatred in our hearts, right? Like, both of those things need to happen. We can try to be as understanding as possible what trauma does to people, what the lack, someone starved for the right resources, what that does to people. You know, when a person becomes dehumanized or desecrated, right? Like, that should break our heart, and we should be working to fix systems that are allowing this to continue, right? There's brokenness in this world. But we get to be here. And somehow we're here to try to be a part of putting the pieces together, right? We continue to build. We continue to see new growth. You know, we see a tree cut down, but out of the stump, there's a shoot, right? Like the closer we can get to the natural rhythms of nature, we see the leaves turning beautiful colors before they fall to the ground. And, you know, it's just death. It's death, dying and rotting. But that makes way for new life. And it's a cycle over and over again. And we're part of it. So may you experience the hallowedness of Halloween. May you feel blessed to be alive today, no matter what else is going on in your life. Lean into the shadow side a little bit today if you want. Not in a way that takes you over, but in a way that allows you to have fun. I want to end with that really funny video that's been around social media, you know, and I don't want to make fun of it, of people. It's not fun out of anyone's expense, but it's because we all can relate to this, right? There's the mother who says, we don't really celebrate Halloween because we're Christian, but we do like to dress up and have fun, right? So then there's the commentary of the guy who's like, that's literally Halloween. Like, you're doing it. Like, there's nothing else to, what else are you expecting there to be like a seance? Like, you know, is it like, are we trying to become like actually possessed? No. We dress up. We have fun. We remember the childlike wonder of Halloween. That we can be what we want to be, you know? We can dress up like a hero. We can dress up like a villain for a night or two, you know? Because we can recognize that that's part of us as well. And actually, the more we get in touch with that part of ourselves, the healthier we're going to be. So yeah, whether you're Christian or not, whether you celebrate Halloween or not, I hope you experience something about today, or whatever day you're listening to this, that there is a hallowedness to life. There's a reason we're afraid of death, and it's okay. But the opposite of fear is love. And perhaps if we can just love life enough, there'll be nothing else to fear. I know that it's stronger. Be blessed. The reason that I'm here, the thing that conquers fear. But you need to remember, I'm still figuring it out. Living with these doubts and beliefs, how to breathe, how to be the only me. Still figuring it out, how to live it out, not just dream, but to see what this love is all about.